Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Real with Somi. Oh, it feels so good to be back here recording this episode. Like, I took a break, you know, from everything, social media, podcast, writing, content creating, because with all the negativity that was happening in the world, I just needed to take a break, you know. So I went back to my roots, took a break to study God's word, to pray, and, you know, remind myself why I was put on earth in the first place. If you are listening to this, hope you have subscribed to my podcast. Anyways, over here where I am, it's a cloudy evening. It's about to rain, and everywhere is so cold and chilly, and it is wonderful. If not for this episode, I will be sleeping under my duvet right now. Anyways, before we delve into today's topic, I want us to do a quick exercise. So if you're listening to this, we're going to do this for 10 seconds. We're going to breathe in and breathe out. So breathe in, breathe out, breathe in again and out. Yeah, that's it. So breathe in, out, in again, out. I feel a bit better. So now that we've done that, moving on, today's podcast topic, very exciting one. It says cutting the godly way. Oh my god, yes, I know this is totally different from our usual topics, but I felt the need to do a podcast on this topic. And one thing I want us to note while listening is that if you genuinely want to have a godly relationship, then you have to have a firm belief in God, and you must be ready to allow Him guide you and lead you, and also be ready to do the work. Because it's easy to say I want a godly relationship, but the question is, how bad do you want it? When we say we want to do things the godly way, it simply means that we want to do something but have Jesus at the foundation of that thing. So whatever we want to embark on, Jesus is the foundation of it. God is the foundation of it. So when we say we want a godly relationship, we want a relationship that glorifies God, and one where God is at the center. He's the foundation of that relationship. He's like the sailor of the ship. Now, a lot of people would argue that they know what a godly relationship is, but in reality, they don't. Some even say they're in a godly relationship, but with the way our generation has normalized a lot of things, some questions are hard to find answers to. That is why I keep telling people, read your Bible, because if you don't read the Bible and study God's word, it's going to be very easy for the world to convince you. Now there are rumors everywhere, there are false doctrines everywhere, and if you do not trace your steps back to the Bible, oh my god, you'll be confused. You'll just be a confused human being. Now, truth is, there are lots of ways you can ask yourself if you're in a godly relationship. A lot of ways to know if you genuinely are in a godly relationship. Now, the first thing I always ask people who want to know is, does your partner draw you closer to God? You know, are you guys in a relationship where you can talk about God freely? He makes you want to study God's word. He challenges you to do better. In the church, he makes you want to read the gospel. Then if yes, then to me, you're on the path to a godly relationship. But if it's no, then that's your answer. Another thing is, does your partner make you compromise on all your values? You know, that is a no-no for me, because as human beings, we make mistakes, yeah, because we are humans. That's why we have to trust in God with all our hearts. But when you're in a relationship that makes you compromise on your morals and values over and over again, that is not godly. Such a relationship does not glorify God and should be addressed. The Bible says to flee sexual immorality. But I'm not just talking about sexual sin here. A relationship where you're forced to lie, you're forced to cheat in order to please the person, you guys are playing mind games, then that's detrimental to your soul and it's totally not worth it. Oh my god, it's raining already. Oh, I can't wait. Sometimes we feel that the love we have for our partners ought to supersede all this, but it doesn't. It's one thing to love someone, and it's another thing to genuinely love your partner the way God asks us to. Oftentimes, we say we want to bring out the best in our partners, but you cannot do this if you don't have a godly relationship. Because a godly relationship challenges you. You want to be the best version of yourself and the other person too. You also want the best version for your partner. You see potentials, you see hidden talent, you see the best in that person. If you are with someone that brings out the worst in you and always sees the negative side of things, then that's a bad sign. And no matter how much you think you love each other, it's not going to work. One day it will crash. One of the reasons why I decided to use the word cutting instead of relationship is because I feel that our generation now, rather let me just say, I just feel like we youths use the word carelessly and we have no moral regards for it. I don't blame anyone though. The human mindset will have you normalize a lot of things. And if you don't seek to take a stand, if you don't tell yourself, okay, I know that this is right, I know this is wrong, and so I'm for the right or I'm for the wrong. If you don't take a stand, you will just, you know, make a lot of mistakes. Let's take an instance now, sexual immorality. You know, you hear some youths tell you that they are Christians, but they still partake in sexual immorality. Some would even try to defend it and tell you that, haba now, it's really hard to genuinely be in a relationship where sex is taken off the table. You know, most Christians who believe in God will even tell you that, maybe we are still going to get married now. Last, we're still married, so it's still the same thing. But in the Bible, God warns us to flee from sexual immorality because it says that every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But a sexually immoral person sins against his own body. You know, early last year, I listened to a preaching, and then the preacher said that the sexual immorality sin is actually a whole lot different from the other sin, because the other sin, you commit it outside your body. But a sexual immoral person sins against his own body, because we are taught to believe that our body is the temple of God. So when you treat your body wrongly, it's sort of like you're disrespecting God. And truth is, deep down as Christians, we know when we are doing the wrong thing. Like, the Holy Spirit lets us know. He whispers it to you. He tells you. But stubbornness will not allow you to listen. And also, because we are so used to making decisions with our carnal mind, we just ignore the voice in our heads. We ignore that saying. When the Holy Spirit talks, you just ignore it. You push it down. But then we find out that when you do that thing, you just can't shake off the feeling. You feel guilty afterwards. No matter how hard you want to just ignore it, there's still, deep down in your heart, you know you did something wrong. And that's why if you want to have a godly relationship, you need to stop thinking with your human mind and trust in God wholeheartedly. Let him take control. Let him guide you. Tell him your fears, your worries. He sees our hearts and he's ready to come true for us all the time. You only have to trust him wholeheartedly. There's no hot. There's no lukewarm. It's either you are hot for him or you are cold for him. Some would say, oh, what will my friends say if I'm single because I want a godly relationship? Which man would understand that I want a godly relationship? How will people rate me? Am I making a mistake with this decision? But wait, let me ask you, by whose standards are you measuring these decisions? Is it by man or by God? Because I don't get how you say, how will people think? Like, Do people's opinion now matter? Is it not what God thinks about you that is the main deal? Sometimes we pray to God for certain decisions, but then are we even ready to put in the work required of us as Christians? Some of us listening are in relationships with people that we can't even discuss about Jesus with. You are in a relationship where you can't tell your partner, oh God, there was a miracle today, or oh God, this is a blessing. You know, you can't just freely talk about what God does for you. You can't talk about the goodness of God in your life. You can't even talk about Jesus. But you can just from morning to night about the movies that are showing. You can talk about the things that happen in society. But you can't talk about Jesus. Wake up. Wake up, sister. Wake up, brother. Stop building a fire in a place that cannot contain it. If you know deep down in your heart that Jesus Christ died, sent his son to die for us on the cross of Calvary, then why are you ashamed to say you are for him? Why are you in a relationship that makes you do things you don't want to? You know that having sex with someone you're not married to is wrong, but yet you still do it. Some say they don't want the guy leaving them, but he's still going to leave if he wants to. having sex with a guy doesn't determine the longevity of that relationship. If you like have sex with someone all through the relationship, if he wants to break up with you, he will break up with you. So why commit the sin in the first place? If you are not married, it is sexual immorality. Don't make this word deceive you. Wake up, read God's word. That question you keep asking yourself, you keep asking people, read the Bible, you will find your answers there. Now, most people go into relationships for the wrong reasons, and I don't blame them, because as a human being who doesn't know God, there's a void you feel empty. And that is why you have youths who try to fill up that void with drugs, with alcohol, going clubbing, going to parties, doing things that they know that they're not even proud of, just because they want to fill up that void in their heart. But what you just need is Jesus. Take it from me. You cannot have God in your life, you cannot have Jesus in your life, and say you feel empty. It's not possible. When you set your heart on things above, there's a relief you feel. I call it a fulfillment. You feel fulfilled. Like, ideas will just stay and come into your head. You just start to live a purposeful life. You live a life that has directions, because God is guiding you now. You're not guiding yourself. See, last month I listened to a message on sex and I really learned a lot. But one thing that struck me was that the teacher said, I don't know how many of us are familiar with the story about Ruth and Boaz. Remember how Ruth was a diligent daughter-in-law, and you know how she was good to her mother-in-law even after she lost her husband, and how she met Boaz and all. Now, the teacher said, while you are waiting for your Boaz, don't settle for his cousins. Yes, it's funny, but at the same time, it's the truth. Don't be in a hurry to get into a relationship. I have met people who are single and are living fulfilled lives, and they know that at the right time, their partner will come. There is nothing wrong with being single. Nobody said that you must be married at this age. Nobody said that you must do this. Take your time. Don't be in a rush. Some of us even go as far as saying, I'm waiting for the one. Oh, wow. The one, really? That's where the Bible comes in, though. Because as Christians, we have to focus on being the right person. Focus on building yourself and serving God. And He will bring to you the one that He knows complements you. Truth is that you can do a good thing in a way that makes it a bad thing. Let's look at sex, for example, now. Sex is a good thing that was made by God. You know, He designed sex so that married couples could, you know, use it to bond and spend time with each other, while at the same time use it to procreate, to give birth to kids. Sex was not designed to be one bad thing. God made sex for married people. It helps you bond with your partner. It helps you feel more connected to your partner. But when you're having sex outside of marriage, that's you turning a good thing to a bad thing. And I don't think that's what we want to do as Christians. Truth is, when I listened to that message, I think I'll share it on my Instagram platform and Facebook this week, because it was a really beautiful message. And as Christians, if you genuinely want to surrender to Jesus and change, don't wallow in self-pity about all the things you've done in the past. God sees our hearts. All you have to do is confess your sin to Him and change. Show Him that you're ready to serve Him. Make Him a priority in your life. And I assure you, that void you feel, that emptiness, it will cease. Now, it is not impossible to cut a woman as a man, the godly way. And as a woman, it is not impossible to find a guy that will cut you the godly way. Everything boils down to what do you really want and how badly you want it. Are you ready to put in the effort required to build a godly relationship? Someone once asked me if I believed in soulmates. Actually, I don't, because I don't believe in the idea that you have just one person designed for you. And so if you marry the wrong person, you know, we focus on this right person, one person. There's actually no right person. I believe that if we focus on being the right one for our partners, God will give you who you need, who complements you.
I do have some tips though for people who want to cut the godly way. Please bear in mind that even with all these tips, the first step is praying to God for guidance before embarking on anything. Because the first stage of a godly relationship is having God as the foundation. Moving on, one of the things to note is that if you want a godly relationship, then you have to be with someone who believes in the same thing that you believe in. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with your partner. Meaning, do not be with someone who doesn't believe in what you believe in. Take 2 Corinthians 6:14 seriously. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers, you know. How can light live with darkness? It's not possible. If you're dating someone who doesn't have a personal relationship with Christ, you're playing with fire. Because I don't understand, what you want to do if you fall in love? Does that mean that you just let the relationship build to a certain level and then you cut it off? That's a waste of time to me, and I don't encourage Christians to waste time. Use your time for things that are beneficial to your spirit. If you know that it's not going to work because you don't believe in the same things, then don't start it. Second thing is, put on the armor of God daily. I cannot emphasize on this. You need all the help you can get in today's world. Do not minimize your time with God. Like, some people will just wake up in the morning, pray, and that's it, till night again. They don't remember that they have a God somewhere. No. Make God a priority. Make Jesus Christ a priority in your life. Spend time studying the Word of God. Spend time reading your Bible. Spend time filling your spirit with messages. You know, listen to songs that elevate your spirit, that build your faith up. And that way, it makes it easy to resist temptations, because the devil has no way to infiltrate into your spirit. That's what it means by to put on the armor of God daily. Dedicate time to studying God's Word and praying. Make Jesus a priority. Another thing to notice, put obedience over passion. See, obedience is very, very vital. You need to know that not everything we do as human beings that feels good is right. In fact, sometimes when you don't feel good, it's the right decision. It feels incredibly good to give into passion, trust me. But the authority of God, of Christ, needs to take precedence over your physical drive. It needs to take control over your physical drive. Do not let your urges control you. Society will tell you, just give in to the moment. Do not give in to any moment. Christ tells you to be obedient to his word. Hang on to that. Hang on to it. Remember that I keep saying this. If you are not ready to put in the work, then don't just bother, because it is not going to be an easy feat. You need to be disciplined. You need to make up your mind. Lastly, you need to trust God wholeheartedly, because you cannot do it on your own. Oh, I don't know how to explain this again. Another thing is, you need to reduce physical touch and intimacy. Now, I know that that could seem hard, but the truth is, so when you minimize physical touch, it helps you set boundaries. And when I say boundaries, I feel partners should like have mutual boundaries, you know, so nobody's overstepping, nobody's making the other person uncomfortable. And mutual boundary also helps reflect maturity, because I feel if two people who are mature set boundaries and are determined to, you know, keep it and make this thing work, it will work. You know, physical touch should correspond with commitment. This doesn't mean that if you're engaged, you can still do more than physical touch. If you are not yet married, limit your physical touch. It's that simple. Another thing I tell people is, what's this thing called? Your motive, your personal motive. Examine it. What is your motivation for going into this relationship? Do you want to, you know, gratify your own ego? Okay, so I've done this, I have this money now, I've been serving God, and I have a job, I have a house. So it's good that it's time I meet a lady, you know. Society deems it fit that at this point I'm married. Or is it for power and control? You always want to have someone you can always control. Or is it for a selfish need? You don't want to feel lonely anymore, so yeah, it's time to get married. Or yeah, or let's go and meet the person. Or genuine affection. Do you genuinely like this person? what exactly do you want? Do you genuinely want to spend your life with this person? Do you genuinely want to build with this person? You want to get to know this person? It all depends on what you want. Another thing is there too much physical and too little other? I mentioned it before. If the social and emotional part supersedes the spiritual part or it's lacking, then you're out of balance. If you can't stand someone, but you guys have a good physical connection, you know, a good physical relationship, you can stay and gist with that person, but emotionally you don't commit, you don't connect, you guys don't have a good Christ relationship, you don't believe in the same thing, you can't seem to agree on the same thing, then you need to rethink that relationship. Yes, physical relationship is good, you know, yes, this person will match, we're good, but then it's more than that. Is there an emotional connection? Do you feel happy to be with this person? If it's not that, then just rethink it. It's probably for the best. Then be guided by love and not lust. It's so easy to get mixed up with lust. You know, a lot of people now confuse love with lust, and if you are not careful, you might fall into the same category and you won't even know you are doing it, because I said it before, a lot of things have been normalized right now, so you see it as a normal thing, but it is not the normal thing. It is lust, but you think it is love, but it is not. Love is the fruit of the spirit, and from love comes self-control. Operate in love and not lust. Do not let your body control you. Most importantly, allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and lead you. If you feel convicted of certain behaviors, then stop doing them. Don't think with your human mind. Operate in the spirit and not in the physical. So teenagers listening to this, don't forget that you must honor your parents and respect their counsel. The Bible says so in Ephesians 6:2-3. You are subject to parental authority. Some of you say, now that I'm getting away from the house, I can be sexually active. Don't be sexually active just because you can get away with it. Stick to God's word and let Him guide you. I really hope that you guys enjoyed listening to this podcast. Trust me, there's going to be a part 2 coming up, and that's where we'll get to discuss about love and lust and the differences between them. I really hope that this message ministers to someone's spirit. And if you want to change your life, it is not too late. All you need to do is say to God, "Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe He died for me and that God raised Him from the dead. I believe He's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through Him and in His name, I have eternal life. I'm born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah." And when you do this, change. It is not too late. Just let Him guide you. And once you do this, you begin to see differences. You start to act accordingly. It's a change in your direction. It's a change in your spirit. You don't remain the same. Don't forget to subscribe on my podcast, guys. I cannot emphasize on this. Do not forget to subscribe to my podcast. We have some great news coming, and I cannot wait to share it with you guys. But till then, fingers crossed. So don't forget to also follow me on Instagram at @CHEE_SWOM and on Facebook at Opala Cheryl. Till our next episode, guys. And by the way, it has stopped raining, so I think I'm going to take a wonderful nap now. I cannot wait. So see you guys next episode. See ya. God bless you.